Well, hello everyone. I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. And I'm defiant at leaving these doors open sometimes. Anyway, yesterday marked 40 years since the Kingdom of Spain and the Republic of Portugal acceded to the European Economic Community as it then was. The EEC founded in 1957, which then turned itself into the European Union in 1993, pursuant to the Treaty of Maastricht. So the EU, founded by the original six, the Benelux, France, Italy, and West Germany. Remember, Germany is divided 1945 to 1990. And then Denmark, Republic of Ireland, United Kingdom, we all joined on New Year's Day 1973 and gradually expanding, then Greece joining. So last of all, Spain and Portugal. And I remember in the 1980s, they said that, well, there were four European Economic Community countries which were well behind economically, and they were the pigs, not meaning to be disrespectful to my own country, Ireland, but it's Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. People say, what about Italy? Well, maybe southern Italy. Northern Italy is quite different. They often say Italy is almost two countries, depending on whether you're north or south of Rome. And so it continued. So remember, the Spain and Portugal have both been dictatorships to the 1970s. Remember the revolution, the Carnations in April 1974, partly because of the cost of this war to try and retain control of the overseas Africa, because Portugal was a pluricontinental country, as in Mozambique, Angola, Cabo Verde, Guinea-Bissau, East Timor, and so on. So they were all lost to communist tyranny off that point, or you know, Indonesian genocide. So it was a very, very sorry event for the people of those African countries, and indeed East Timor, despite the injustice of Portuguese rule. But anyway, that led to democracy, and then it went from an ultra-conservative dictatorship to really the far left being in charge. They didn't seem to want to have a Soviet-style system, fortunately. And in Spain, Franco died in November 1975. They said they'd be largely inflating a corpse, keeping him alive. Didn't he die the same day, the anniversary of the death of José Antonio Primo de Rivera, that nationalist martyr from the Civil War? So he died. Then Juan Carlos was inaugurated as king, swore an oath, didn't actually get crowned, and transitioned to democracy, which Franco was sure that Juan Carlos wouldn't do, but he did. Okay, so the European Union said you've got to have a proper democracy, and economically they were behind. There was mass emigration out of these countries. Portuguese people moving to Brazil, might surprise you in those days, to the United States, to northern European countries, like France and Luxembourg in particular, has got a large Portuguese community, West Germany, United Kingdom, Jersey, the island of Jersey especially. Whereas the Spaniards, they were often shifting to France because it was their adjacent country and they could learn the language very quickly. What else? If they had a religious denomination, it was Catholicism, like most French people, and their cuisine was similar, their culture was a kindred one, and they're quickly accepted. Otherwise, moving to places like Switzerland or Germany, occasionally the United Kingdom likewise, sending back their remittances, because the dictators allowed people to leave, partly because they got money sent back, but it was a safety valve. They'd rather have malcontents leave the country than stay there as troublemakers. But then these countries, they joined the European Union, which meant really frictionless trade, sorry, European Economic Community as it was then, and they thought solidified democracy. Remember in 1981, a member of the Guardia Civil, Tejero, he'd stormed into La Cortes Española, fired his gun and said, "Coños todos al suelo," saying, calling them, "See you next Tuesday, everybody on the ground," in a last-ditch attempt to resurrect the old system of El Movimiento Nacional. What was it? I can't remember. Falange Española, that old party. Many would say fascist, but that failed. Fortunately, nobody was killed after a standoff of several hours, partly because His Majesty the King went on television to denounce the attempted coup. So they felt that the democracy had been secured, and gradually the country liberalized, became more cosmopolitan, learned English and so on. Spain was going that bit way anyway, because in the 1960s, a package holidays opened up. So these countries developed enormously economically. The post used to be a joke in Spain. It improved. I mean, prisons became much more humane. They improved their roads, their railways, infrastructure generally. I remember visiting Spain shortly after they joined the EEC. And I do remember some things being very shabby. There had been some sort of like wrecked buildings, but be left over from the Civil War, which had ended almost 50 years earlier, and they hadn't cleared away the rubble or actually rebuilt it. So things got better. And it's only in the 1980s that the most remote villages got electricity and running water. You know, that'd be the absolute last people. But it was well behind other Western European countries. So they got these development funds. So that really was a positive thing for them. The common agricultural policy was a boon because, of course, they were more agricultural than some countries like, say, the Netherlands, which had not much space, or Germany. Although some people went bust, there were losers as well as winners, especially the textile industry, shipbuilding, because other European Union countries put them out of business. The competition was too fierce. But there were job losses. I mean, unemployment was very high in Spain in the 1980s. I mean, then it got much better. It got worse again about 2008. It's finally improved. So they had the right to eventually to live and work in all European Union countries, joining the Erasmus program and so on. So help their monetary policy. But remember, in those days, the Portuguese currency was the escudo, literally the shield. I think it was a symbol of a shield on the coin. And the Spanish had their peseta, as in from peso, weight, as in mass, peseta, as in a little weight, because it represented a small amount of silver or gold in the old days. Eventually, both joining the euro zone in 1998 and having euro as a physical currency on the 1st of January 2002. So it's popular. There isn't a serious movement to withdraw. I'm not sure even the Vox party in Spain advocates withdrawal from the European Union. And for them, European Union or European Community was about emigration, not really about immigration, and so on. So that the mindset changed. They would stop identifying with the Hispanic world as much, and there's less imperial nostalgia and more thinking about other European countries. Likewise, Portugal helped them to get over the loss of the former African possessions. Goodness. So what do you think? You might be a Europhile. Now, I'm a Eurosceptic. I've long advocated for the Republic of Ireland us to withdraw from the European Union, rejoin the United Kingdom. But I'm open to persuasion. If I could reunite Ireland and Great Britain by the UK rejoining the European Union, I would do it. Otherwise, Republic of Ireland, our policies are better in some ways. You see, our economic growth is better, environmentally, things like that. If anything, I thought, get the United Kingdom to apply to join the Republic of Ireland, at least unite the two. Ideally keep the monarchy, ideally keep the Union flag, as well as the tricolour, but I'm perhaps the only person in the world who thinks this. So, yes, I was a Brexiteer and I'm an Exiteer as well, but I'm not blind to the European Union's benefits. There are good things about it. You wouldn't have so many people in favour of it if there was nothing positive to be said about it whatsoever. Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.